It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bud Bierman, Director of Church Planting for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions in Greenville, South Carolina. The title of his message is Fingerprints of the New Man. The text is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Our speaker for today is Dr. Bud Bierman, who for many decades was the director of the Alumni Association, and now he is director of church planning for a Gospel Fellowship Association mission. So, Dr. Bierman.
Having sat where you sat, or are sitting, both in undergraduate and graduate school, I understand that some of you right now feel like your minds are nothing but a mass of jelly. Well, I hope this morning we can make a little impression in that jelly from the Word of God. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." To the church at Galatia, in chapter 6, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Fingerprints are a means of identification. And the Holy Spirit leaves His fingerprints on our lives, if we know the Lord, as He seeks to mold us and shape us in the image of Christ. And likewise, we, as we move day by day, whether it's on this campus or in town, or in another state, or across in another country, we are leaving fingerprints on the lives of people. And as Paul indicates in these two brief passages that I've quoted, those fingerprints are either the fingerprints of the new man or of the old man. When Paul is talking about saved and unsaved, he calls every saved individual a spiritual individual, as opposed to every unsaved individual being a carnal individual. But when Paul compares Christians with Christians, as he does in the two passages that we cited this morning, he doesn't call every Christian spiritual. In fact, he told the Corinthians in that first verse of chapter 3 that he couldn't speak to them as spiritual individuals because they still had carnality being displayed in their lives. And that's so in every one of us. We are either leaving the fingerprints of the old man or the fingerprints of the new man on every life that we touch day by day. And so this morning, I want us to consider those fingerprints of the new man that I hope you have determined in your heart. That's the impact. That's the fingerprint you want to leave on the lives of people that you come in contact with, rather than the fingerprints characteristic of the old man. What is the design of the spiritual Christian? What is the design of the new man? Well, as we've already suggested, it's the antithesis of carnality. It's the antithesis of the old man. Carnality is the display of attitudes and actions that are characteristic of the old nature. Spirituality is the demonstration of the attitudes and the actions that characterize the new man. Paul speaks about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Unsaved individuals, all they have is an old nature. All the only fingerprints they can leave on lives are the fingerprints of the old man. Paul suggests here that the Christian, the born-again individual, now has a new nature, but that old nature is still there. And so we can leave fingerprints of either nature upon lives. We can leave the fingerprints of the old man, or now that we're born again and have the new nature of God within us, we can be leaving the fingerprints of the new man upon the lives of individuals. In this Ephesians 4 passage, several things with regard to the matter of the old man, now that we're a new man. First of all, in verse 22, he says to renounce the old man. The word there that's used is the idea of setting away from. It's the picture of coming across something or someone that stinks. And you don't want to be near it. You want to put it away from you. And so the old man is a stinking, rotting nature. And so the renouncing of the old man, putting it away, shoving him away. And then in verse 23, he speaks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Having our minds renewed, the way that we're thinking. Now thinking more and more like the new man rather than the thought patterns of the old man. So being renouncing the old man, being renewed in our mind, and then verse 24, having a strong regard for the new nature, for the new man, feeding him from the Word of God, exercising him by translating into day by day flesh and blood experience. What we have learned from the Word of God is to be the character of the new man, and having a regard for that and a revulsion for the old man, starving him to death throughout our lifetime, not feeding him with that which he wants to feed upon, not exercising him in areas where he wants to exercise his control or strength, but rather a strong regard for the new man, feeding him and exercising him. This is the design of the spiritual man, or the face of the new man. Well, what are the distinctives of the spiritual individual, or the distinctives of the new man? And here's where we come to the fingerprints. What are the fingerprints of the new man? The Word of God gives us great instruction with regard to the character and the attitude and the actions of that new man. First of all, in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells the folk at the church of Rome, and in verses 5 and 6, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, the old natures referred to there. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The new man is minding the things of the Spirit. And the idea there of the word is a frame of mind. As a spiritual individual, as one who is less and less displaying carnality in the life, there is the frame of mind that I want to mind the things that the Holy Spirit considers important. Jesus tells us two things in the Gospel of John that are predominant in the Holy Spirit's ministry in our age today. In chapter 16 and in verse 14, he says, "He shall glorify me." The Holy Spirit desires to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 15 and in verse 26, he says, "He shall testify of me." And so the new man desires to glorify the Lord Jesus. The new man desires to testify of the Lord Jesus, to be a soul winner, to be seeking to reach people for the Lord Jesus and testify of the Lord and of the hope and the forgiveness and the salvation that is in Christ. That's the mind of the Holy Spirit. And the mind of the new man is to mind the things of the Spirit, which are basically to glorify the Lord and to testify of the Lord with our lips and with our life. Another fingerprint of the new man, he's prayerful. Prayerful. We find numerous passages throughout the New Testament that fortify that thought. Prayerful. The new man desires to be in communication with God, just like the human nature desires to be in communication with other men. As I've read about people who have been in solitary confinement, one of the first things they mention when asked what was the worst part of being in solitary confinement, they almost immediately say, not being able to talk with anybody. And so the human nature that just desires to communicate and talk with other people. Well, the new man has the desire to communicate with his Father, has a desire to communicate with the Lord. So he's prayerful. A third fingerprint of the new man, of the spiritual individual, is discernment. Discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now that goes contrary to the spirit of new evangelicalism and compromise and the general spirit of our world today. The idea today is where you don't judge anything. In fact, some people will piously quote Matthew 7:1. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. The only problem is they don't go on in the chapter where after the Lord Jesus made that statement, he goes on to tell about judging those that are contrary to the Word of God. Makes it very clear. Other passages of Scripture, the Lord Jesus in John 7, verse 24, judge not according to appearance, the way something looks or seems or sounds, but judge righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 6, 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Ephesians 5, 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That requires judging. That requires discernment. Again, to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The requirement to be judging things. 1 John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because he said many spirits of Antichrist are in our world today. And then the church at Ephesus was commended by the Lord in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Say, these and many other passages make it very clear that the spiritual individual is to be a discerning individual, judging that which is contrary to the Word of God or which is in line with the Word of God. This is our standard for judgment. When the Lord Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, he was talking about doing that which only God can do. Judging men's motives. Well, he's doing that because of this. Well, I know. No, you don't know a man's heart. But you can certainly see his actions. And we are called upon by using the Word of God as the standard to judge and discern that which is proper for the Christian life and that which is improper. That which is appropriate, that which is not appropriate. That which is true to the Word of God, that which is not true to the Word of God. So the spiritual individual, the new man, is leaving the fingerprint of discernment in line with the Word of God. Fourth fingerprint, along that same line, he's receptive to God's Word. Paul again, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. John, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And I find it very interesting in that passage to the Corinthians where Paul said that if a man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, he will recognize and acknowledge that what Paul was saying were the commandments of God. I find it very interesting that the very next verse, Paul said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I find there Paul didn't waste his time with people who were confronted with clearly presented, evident truth, and they rejected it. Paul didn't fool around with them. He said, going to be ignorant? Let him be ignorant. Go on to others. In fact, Paul, writing to Titus, said, if a man's a heretic, after the first and second admonition, after you've tried a couple of times to correct him, if he will not be corrected, he didn't say, keep on, going on, trying to find some bridge. No, he said, if after the second admonition he continues, he says, reject him. He subverted himself. So the spiritual individual, the new man, is receptive to God's Word and seeks to be obedient to that Word. Another fingerprint is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. That which we often call the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's a whole message series in those nine words. But notice, they break up into three groups of three. Love, joy, peace, that has to do with what's going on inside of us. Goodness and long-suffering, that has to do with how we're dealing with people round about us. And then faith, meekness, and temperance, that has to do with how we're dealing with God. Say, the spiritual individual and the desire of the new man is to be rightly related within, to be rightly related without, and to be rightly related above. To be demonstrating the attitudes and the actions of the fruit of the Spirit, leaving those fingerprints upon the lives that he's touching. And then, as Paul suggested to the Galatians in that sixth chapter in the first verse, a spiritual individual, the new man, has a desire to restore or has at least a concern for a fallen brother. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, trumpet it from the housetops. No, he didn't say that. Ye that are spiritual, put it in print so it can be read all over the country. No, he didn't say that. He said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. And those of you that have studied the original language know that that word is a word that is used for readjustment or for the setting of a broken bone. Or for the fisherman who sat there in his boat or on the seashore, mending his net, readjustment, setting a bone, mending a net for the purpose of restoring that thing to usefulness. And he said, now you that are spiritual, you that are really demonstrating the new man, you come across a fallen brother, you have a concern for him, and you seek to do what you can to help him, encourage him, restore him to a place of usefulness for the Lord. It's a fingerprint of the new man. And then the latter part of that Galatians 6:1 verse says to do it with meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Humility. Humility. Seeing someone who has fallen, seeing someone who has fallen into the snare of the devil or has given way to a lust of the flesh or the desire of the old nature, seek to restore him in a spirit of humility, not in a patronizing way, sort of like a pastor who was concerned about a fallen member in his congregation. And he decided that he would take one of the deacons with him and go and seek to talk with this brother and see if they could possibly restore him. And so as he was meeting with his deacons, he said, Brother so-and-so, do you think you would have done what Brother so-and-so did? Oh, no, Pastor, I'd never do that. Deacon so-and-so, would you have done what Brother so-and-so? Oh, Pastor, how could you even ask? You know I wouldn't do that. He went down the line. Each deacon answered about the same way until he came to the last one. He said, do you think you would have done what Brother so-and-so did? He said, Pastor, I don't know. Under the right circumstances, I may have done the same thing. The pastor said, I want you to go with me and let's see if we can restore this brother. A spirit of humility, considering ourselves lest we could also fall into the same temptation. And then another fingerprint of the new man is a joyful and a thankful heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Maybe you can't do much with your vocal cords that sounds good, but you can certainly make a melody in your heart. A melody in your heart. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The new man is of the nature that it's joyful and a thankful heart. By the way, just as an aside, notice where he says spiritual songs. Think about that in contrast, as we mentioned, spirituality opposed to carnality. Songs that are not displaying the attitude and the actions of the old nature, but rather songs and music that are displaying the attitude and the actions characteristic of the new man. But the fingerprints of the new man will be left on the lives of people who see he has a joyful heart and a thankful heart. And then in that same Ephesians 5 chapter, the very next verse, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The new man is in submission to authority. I travel a great deal, been out and revival meetings, evangelistic meetings for many, many years. Most of the time I drive. And on various occasions, I've seen a bumper sticker that says, "Question authority." Well, that's the spirit of the most postmodern era. That's the spirit of this present age. But that's not the spirit of the new man. That's the spirit of the carnal nature. Now, obviously, we read in Acts, other passages, where at times if authority it demands that we do that is contrary to the Scripture and offensive to our God, then we have to obey God rather than men. But even there, we can do it in a spirit of humility and in a spirit of meekness. But submission to authority. Well, you say, Dr. Bierman, those are wonderful fingerprints. And really, that's what I want to... that's what I want my life to be characterized with, these various things. But what's the key to the development of the spiritual man? How is the new man fulfilled? Well, very interesting verse over in Galatians chapter 5. Paul says in verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." How did you gain life? By the Spirit of God. How did you gain eternal life? Well, by hearing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God as the Holy Spirit convicted you. Now, Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How then do we walk in the Spirit? By believing God's Word and acting upon it as the Holy Spirit convicts. We gain life by receiving God's Word, obeying it, acting upon it. And we walk in the Spirit. We, now that we are a new man and have that life in Christ, we demonstrate that new man by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. By letting the Holy Spirit of God talk to us from the Word of God and convict us. And obeying that Word and acting upon that Word. That means we're not going to be grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4. Allowing that to be in the life which is grievous to Him. That means we're not going to be quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Refusing to do that which He has impressed upon our heart that we ought to do. We are letting the Holy Spirit of God fulfill the new man in our life. Now, in another day, you're going to be going out. Some of you perhaps just to the Greenville area. Some of you home, some of you maybe to other parts of the country or the world. But as you go, you're going to be touching lives and leaving fingerprints. Will they be the fingerprints of the new man, or will they be the fingerprints of the old man? The key is letting the Holy Spirit leave His fingerprints on our lives and on our hearts as He molds us in Christ-like. Let's pray. Father, what a tremendous opportunity and also responsibility we have to seek to glorify the Lord and testify of Him and let the Holy Spirit mold our lives to be Christ-like, that we might in turn leave the fingerprints of the new man upon the lives of people that we touch every day. Help us to be that kind of people.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bud Bierman, Director of Church Planting for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions in Greenville, South Carolina. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.